where we talk about the biggest stories already shaping the elections that will happen in 11 days' time. That's exactly how many days left until the general elections on February 25th. 11 days. That's our big hard fact for today. 1 week and 4 days away. 2 Saturdays away. So campaign don't reach fever pitch. Everybody, they talk everything now. Which is why today we're going to talk about Atiku's promise to revive Calabar Port and build the Lagos-Calabar Railway. Then we'll talk about Obi's promise to restructure the federal government's finances. Let's also talk about the attack on obedience in Lagos and Oshomole's call for intimidation. And then let's talk about Atiku cancelling his Rivers rally. But first off, we'll start with that promise to revive Calabar Port. Atiku Abubakar says if elected president, he'll revive the port in Calabar. He was campaigning in Cross River yesterday, telling the people there that he would do this and do that for them. And one of the things he said was he would open up and develop the port. He also promised to build the coastal highway, which is supposed to run from Lagos to Calabar through Port Harcourt. In Buhari's first term, he promised that railway, but eventually axed the project. Now let's talk about these two promises. Why is Calabar Port not functioning? We've talked about this thing so many times on Hard Facts. Like in the 4 years, since I've been here, 2018, we've talked about Calabar Port so many times. There's a fundamental problem with how Calabar Port was built. The port is not directly on the high sea. It's connected to the sea by a channel. The channel is very long, about 120 kilometers. That's what they call a meandering channel, meaning that it twists like a snake. Now, that's a problem because that channel keeps getting filled with silt. So it keeps getting shallower and shallower, too shallow for massive ships. If you want to keep it deep enough, you have to dredge it constantly. That's why many professionals don't believe that that port can be saved. They think it doesn't make economic sense to keep dredging that channel. But other people believe that it can be used. If you dredge it to 6 meters, for instance, instead of 10, smaller ships can use it. So maybe it can be used as a manufacturing port, for example. And I think that this may be what Atiku meant, because he specifically mentioned creating a manufacturing hub near the Calabar Port. So that's that. Then you talk about the coastal railway. I said highway earlier, sorry, railway. You talk about the coastal railway, opinions are split about whether this Lagos-Calabar railway should even be a priority. Usually you start with railways that connect the hinterlands to the ports. That way you can improve exports, right? But if your railway is moving from one port city to another one, it's not helping you improve exports directly, right? But it would help you handle capacity problems. So let's say that as an exporter, I bring my goods to Lagos, but when I get to Lagos, I find out Apapa is too congested. If the railway is there, I can move my goods very quickly to Port Harcourt or Calabar. That's the idea. But if you had a choice to build only one railway to Calabar Port, would you connect it to Lagos? Or would you connect it to somewhere in the southeast or northeast to boost exports there? So that's that promise. That's that situation with the ports. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Do you agree with Atiku's plans for the Calabar Port and the coastal railway? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. Women, call us on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. 0700-993-993-993. Let's hear your thoughts on that story. Hello. Thanks for calling us.
Hello. Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. My name is Iroko.
Welcome, I'm Iroko. Good evening, Iroko. Welcome.
Yeah. What I want to ask is about this these are calls signed by all the political parties.
Okay.
My question is this. We have been seeing so many things happening, more especially in Lagos State, and nobody's asking questions. Is Salam Abubakar, who is the chairman of the Peace Accord, still in this country, or has he traveled out of this country?
Okay, thank you for calling, Iroko, but I wonder what Abdusalami Abubakar can do if politicians sign a piece of paper and decide to not uphold what they've signed. We will, however, get to that story eventually. 99.3, hello. Hello, good evening. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, my name is Babaji.
Welcome, Babaji.
Yeah, you mentioned two presidential candidates, Atiku Abubakar and Peter Obi. And when I look at two of them, if you ask me, I see sincerity, both of them.
Okay.
If you ask me, there was a program. I don't think whether it's a program, maybe Sunday morning.
Okay.
And ask the question, who are you going to vote for? Many people pick their candidate, but I said, I'm still sitting on the fence. The three major candidates, I will not vote for one. But I'm looking the two. At the dying minute, I will make my choice.
Mm.
And if you look at it, that Calabar Port, you ask a question. What are we? Why? Nigeria, why? Because by the time you develop Calabar Port, Warri Port, Porai Court, and that of Lagos, we understand that the population in Lagos will reduce. And many people will be using other ports for importation.
Mm.
So you just focus mainly one state, the importation, Apapa Port and Tinka Port, even if it's the international airport, the only functioning international airport, Abuja and Lagos. By the time you develop that of Calabar, I think it's going to be okay. But you know, politicians, and that is another angle. They promise you, tell you, they will build the sky from heaven to earth. And at the end of the day, they will change. But if you ask me, Sandra, it shall be an article. I'm saying some sincerity because Atiku wants to prove many people wrong, especially his principal, who never wanted him. And he wanted to be president to make some, to me personally, I'm just saying it. Why Peter B? Why Peter B? If you see Peter B, if he's talking, you will just understand that this man wants to work for Nigeria. So I'm still looking, but it takes political will to attack the cabal. Because those people that is making the port not to function, especially Calabar, Warri, these are the strong cabal. Before you can be able to deal with them, it takes a political will and strong mind. So two of them are still looking to pick. Thank you.
All right, Papa G, thank you very much. I have answered, you know, why Calabar Port is not functioning. I told you that the port is not on the high sea directly. It's connected to the sea by a channel. The channel is about 120 kilometers long. It's called a meandering channel because it twists like a snake. And the problem with that is that it keeps getting filled with silt. So it's shallower and shallower. And when the thing is shallow, it's too shallow for massive ships. If you want to keep it deep enough, you have to dredge it constantly. So the Calabar Port situation, you know, is not down to a cabal. It's down to what's the incentive to keep dredging. Because dredging constantly is expensive. You know, it doesn't make economic sense. At least that's what the professionals say. It doesn't make economic sense to keep dredging the canal. However, like I said before, you have other professionals who say, you get how we feed steel shell, use them. We feed dredge them up to like 6 meters instead of 10, so that smaller ships fit use them. So we use them as manufacturing port, for instance. And that's why I said that that's what I think Atiku meant, because he specifically mentioned creating a manufacturing hub near the Calabar Port. So that's probably what he meant when he said that if elected president, he's going to revive the Calabar Port. And then I also talked about the Coastal Railway. When he was campaigning in Cross River yesterday, he was telling the people there that he's going to build the coastal railway, which is supposed to run from Lagos to Calabar. And like I mentioned, Buhari also said that he was going to do that, but he eventually axed that project, right? And I said that the thing about the coastal railway is that you ask people, the opinions are split. You know, some people say, oh yeah, it should be a priority because you know, it's a railway that connects the hinterland to the ports so that you can improve exports, you know. But if your railway is moving from one port city to another, it's not exactly helping you improve exports, you know. It would help capacity problems, you know. So like I said, I gave you the example of if I'm an exporter and I bring my goods to Lagos and I find out Apapa is congested, I can quickly move my goods down to Port Harcourt or to Calabar if we had a railway, right? A railway that runs from Lagos to Calabar. I can quickly just move things to Calabar, right? And fix it there, you know? So that's the entire idea of a coastal railway. But if you had a choice to build only one railway, because you have to think about Nigeria's fiscal condition at the moment. If you had a choice to build only one railway to Calabar Port, would you connect it to Lagos or would you connect it to somewhere in the southeast or somewhere in the northeast so that we can boost exports from there? These are very real issues, you know. But the big question is, do you agree with Atiku's plans for the Calabar Port and for the coastal railway? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. Women, call us on 01465-7190. Hello, thank you for calling us.
Hello.
How you doing? What's your name, sir?
Good evening, my name is Ade.
Welcome, Ade.
Calling from Sulere.
Good to have you on the show. Is this Ade from Sulere on WhatsApp?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, thanks. So, I do want to believe that was asked specifically because maybe political reasons. I want to believe that this government may have looked at the viability, the economic reasons, and other factors like you mentioned. So politicians will always come up to say anything, just like you said, this present government also talked about it when they were coming in. It's when they got there, they now saw the reality that this may not be viable or may not make too much of economic sense. I don't know why the port was cited at where it is, and in the recent times it's not viable anymore and all that. So we don't need to say almost you do everything when you go to every state. I know these are promises that one would want to say in an open campaign to entice people, but the reality it has shown in this present government and any other president that will take over that your promises may not really come to fruition when you get to that place and all that. Thanks.
All right, Ade. Thank you very much. By the way, Ade was asking, he doesn't know why the port was built there. There's actually a ridiculous reason for the structural problem at the Calabar Port. The original design was for Oron, not Calabar. But the military government at the time changed the location at the last second and went ahead without doing any serious feasibility study. I know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? 99.3, hello.
Hello.
How you doing? What's your name, ma'am?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am. What's your name?
My name is Sandra.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. How you doing?
Sandra, at some point, there was a time that Calabar Port was functional.
Yes.
And then, what happened? Even Warri. You understand?
Yes.
Warri, Port Harcourt. And a lot of people came to Lagos when they couldn't clear their goods at those areas. That was why the traffic into Lagos, you know, was high.
Right.
Because usually people were not coming to Lagos. So anybody that is probably telling everybody, yeah, you're in Lagos, people had things to do in Lagos and were either jeopardized or, you know, whatever they did to ensure that other places are not working and now Lagos is working. What do you expect? So if Port Harcourt is going to take the light rail. If you notice, there's something they started doing. They call it land port. Have you heard of it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Goods we get into Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
It will be cleared in Lagos.
Mm-hmm.
It will go through the rail. Have you seen it? Around that Joralopa site, you see a lot of containers there.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's a land drain, so it doesn't get cleared in Lagos until it gets to the north.
Right.
So what that for? Nobody sees what is in the container or what is in the containers. And then if we can use the Calabar for the light, the lesser ship,
yeah.
Why wouldn't we do that? And then save also for the factories and the companies that will set up around that area. When and, you know, how and when they be set
necessary,
up.
Right.
Do you understand?
Right.
So we can't just rule it out and say it's too expensive. Okay, this rail that has been costing us how much trillion, 70-something trillion,
mm-hmm.
and people are cutting it and selling the rail, the parts.
Mm-hmm.
What have we gained? To me, I think they should even concentrate on the hospitals in Nigeria.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people are dying of dialysis machines that they cannot access. Things for cancer that they cannot access. You go to Calabar, from here you're sick, you go to Ibadan, and then you queue up. Let them get these things. They are very easy. Then why are they getting into things that are so expensive and things that we cannot even, you know, control their costs? They should just make our hospitals, at least 2-3 hospitals, you know, international standard. And then that instead of that medical tourism, we get the money in Nigeria, then we can do all those other ones.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. I should mention, by the way, that it became harder to keep Calabar Port running when it was given to private operators. Before that, government was running Calabar Port at a loss, you know. But even in government hands, it just became too expensive to keep dredging. But yes, there could be some potential for the port as a shallow port. Now, let's move to the promise from Peter Obi. We've got a promise from Atiku Abubakar. Peter Obi is also making promises. He's promising to fix the federal government's tattered finances. And he got into specifics while talking to NESG. He said he'll radically bring down the cost of governance. He wants to switch to zero-based budgeting. That's where you don't use last year's budget to set this year's budget. Instead, you start from scratch, recalculate everything you actually need to spend. Now, of course, remember that the Buhari administration also promised this. Buhari administration also promised zero-based budgeting, but that never happened. So the question is, does Obi understand the reasons why it didn't work? Does he have the skills to get a better result? He also promised to fight price inflation by making the budget more transparent. He said he's going to equip and empower the EFCC to enforce transparency and honesty in budgeting and in project execution. Again, sounds good, but question of implementation. Because making the budget more transparent means publishing it everywhere and publishing it early and publishing it in detail. And if you want to use EFCC or ICPC to enforce budget compliance, you need to have systems in place to monitor them. Make sure they're not being compromised. Obi has not given us details about how he intends to handle that. He also promised to work with the CBN to cut down the ways and means balance and bring it under the legal limit. So those are some of the promises Peter Obi has made on the fiscal side. It's important that we analyze them because he says that one of his major selling points is financial prudence. All our experts have said federal government won't be able to achieve anything in health, in security, in education, or anywhere else until the federal government can get its revenue and its expenditure problem under control. So, you've heard Peter Obi's plan to do that. Do you like it? Do you think he can execute that plan? 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Tweet at us at Nigeria Info FM. We're live on Facebook, so share your thoughts on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening, ma'am. What's your name?
This is Joy Collie.
Welcome, Joy.
You see, what I understand in this country, there is nothing we want to do here that we cannot do. I don't like when people say we are broke. I don't like it at all. I'm not happy.
Okay.
We know where our money is now.
Mm.
It's in pockets of people, bank of people.
Mm.
Why do we say, have you ever seen anybody that rule this country that is poor? Why you say Nigeria is broke? All the money they are bringing us, they are sucking it back. We are not broke. We don't need the right people in power to use all this money and collect it where it is. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. 99.3. Hello. Sorry about that. Give us a call back if you can. Good evening. How you doing?
Good evening. Our only ambassador and president Central Ezekwesili. Good evening.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name, sir?
My name remains Godwin, calling from Lakwa.
Welcome, Godwin.
Happy Valentine.
Welcome. Go ahead. Same to you.
Hey, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
From the first point concerning Calabar, is that Calabar, the distance, is the cost more than construction of railways to another country that was being involved by this administration?
Mm.
If anybody, sorry, God bless you, if anybody says Nigeria is poor, then that person's mentality needs to be redesigned. Otherwise, the whole world, our Senate or House of Assembly, is there any country that receives as much as they have received? The governor, the car, the ride, and what, all that thing, pension and whatever, after 4 years, they give themselves whatever they give, unchallenged. And somebody will tell me we don't have money in the country to do what is required for ordinary people. In fact, it is a fallacy to say because of no money, they cannot do this, cannot do that. The moment we have a leader, not the ruler that we have today, the moment we have leader, that is done. And somebody like Obi, he has what it takes. He's here from the past record, others. So when you let us look around and think and divide and act accordingly. So there is enough money to do whether the hospital, the best this country, the best road for this country, the best school for this country, but because we don't have leaders, we only have leaders, rulers that only after to marginalize to for themselves as a family unborn. And God, in his infinite mercy, God of ordinary Nigeria, he will continue to expose them until God will give us the right one that will lead us to the right place. God bless you once again.
All right. Bless you as well. Thank you very much for calling. Let's take a look at messages we have on WhatsApp. We've got about 1 minute before we have to take a break. So let's see the messages we've got there. This one here is from Mike. Mike is in Lekki. Mike says, what a brilliant fiscal plan by Obi. He was once a bank director and has proven his ability while he was Anambra governor. All right. Blackwell says, Sandra, the system stinks. Why can't we do the right thing in this country? We've got this message here. Please, Sandra, this issue on ground, a lady... All right, Oluwole, thank you very much for bringing that to my attention. We have this message here. I've perceived this for long. Voters are going to stand their ground on election day, especially on the 25th, against all forms of attacks. Speaking of attacks, we're going to talk about those and voter intimidation in general when we come back from this break. Because yesterday on the big weekend, we talked about the attacks on Obi supporters. Police confirmed that they're investigating some of the reports. And I'm sure you've seen that video with Oshomole talking about intimidating voters. We'll talk about that as well. We'll play the video for you as well in case you haven't seen it when we come back from this break. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.
Send your child to a public primary school in Lagos? Before you answer that question, please listen to
7, and we're talking about the events that are currently shaping this year's general elections, the first one being 11 days away on February 25th, 2023. This is Nigeria Info 99.3, and yesterday on the Big Weekend, if you've never listened to the Big Weekend, by the way, it starts at 3 p.m. every Monday, where we talk about the biggest stories over the weekend that, we couldn't discuss because there's no hard facts on the weekends. Anyways, yesterday on the Big Weekend, we talked about the attacks on OB supporters here in Lagos on Saturday. The police confirmed that they are investigating some of the reports. The PDP in the state, however, condemned the attack. We heard from Jando. I told you this as well yesterday. We heard from Jando. And that's Olajide Adediran, the Guba candidate of PDP. And he actually accused the APC of being behind it. We're still waiting for a response from the state APC, either to condemn the violence or deny Jando's accusation. But while the Lagos APC may be silent, we heard some interesting words from the Edo chapter, or at least from Adams Oshomole, one of the leaders of the Edo chapter of the APC. Someone recorded video of him talking to party members in the state, and the allegation is that he was telling them to intimidate OB supporters. If you're watching us live, I'm going to play the video for you. If you cannot watch live, well, listen for yourself and let me know what you hear.
We can help and do better.
Yes. Exactly.
If it's one voice, it's a minority voice. So that's what I'm concerned about. And even if 10 minutes, let's go out. You see, we have to intimidate. See, this is a do. This is another one. This is a camera.
Now, this Oshomole video came out just days after he tried to address a crowd in his state, but they met him with chants of OB. So, is this a question of the ex-governor feeling rattled in his home state and trying to prove a point? Because, again, if you listen to that video, he's essentially saying, oh, let's go out, you know, let's just go out, let's just try and do something, even if it's for a few minutes, you know. So perhaps it's not intimidate in the way we think of intimidate. But you know what? Let me play his own words for you again so you can hear for yourself.
We can help and do better.
Yes. Exactly.
If it's one voice, it's a minority voice. So that's what I'm concerned about. And even if 10 minutes, let's go out. You see, we have to intimidate. See, this is a do. This is another one. This is a camera.
But going beyond this case, regardless of what he meant in that video, what the context was, or what the situation was, do you think voter intimidation will work in this election? I'm not talking about just obedience now. Voters in general, because you have states where APC supporters have been attacked, PDP supporters have been attacked. Voter intimidation in general, do you think it will work in this election? Do you think the fear of violence will keep voters away in 11 days? Or do you think that there's something different about this time? And that voters are ready to stand up for their rights in a peaceful way, in a peaceful but firm way? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We've got WhatsApp as well. Of course, you can share your thoughts on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Femi Omotayo is joining us from Dallas in Texas. Hi, Femi.
Hello, good morning, Madam Sandra. Oh, sorry, good afternoon, Madam Sandra.
It's fine. Welcome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, see, if we are not careful, voter intimidation is really going to work.
Okay.
And that's the strategy of the ruling party. Like I said, we need to be proactive on this matter. we need to, as in the security operatives, they need to be on the alert on this issue.
Mm.
In Lagos State, nobody can tell me that these people don't know the people that are causing violence in Lagos.
Mm.
So until we go after these people, mm-hmm. that is when we can experience a peaceful election. As I'm talking to you now, Madam Sandra,
mm-hmm.
if we have 100% of people that are ready to vote, the percentage right now is reducing every day.
Okay.
That's my contribution, Madam Sandra. Thank you so much.
All right, Femi, thank you very much for calling. Femi says he thinks if things are not done at the moment, voter intimidation will work. 923. Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
My name is Wale.
Welcome. Welcome, Wale.
Yeah. I'm very sure that voter intimidation will not work.
Okay.
See, what did they do during NSAS before people were before they scattered people from Lekki? What did they do?
Hmm.
They brought soldiers to scatter people. That's the only thing. If they should bring soldiers again to scatter us, people that they want to use, they are used. And we that we are ready now, we are used.
All right, voter intimidation will not work, he says. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Hello.
Hello, what's your name, ma'am?
My name is Lillian. I'm calling from Lagos.
Welcome, Lillian from Lagos. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to contribute on the voting.
Do you think voter intimidation will work this time?
We are with the idea, all of us. We vote and wait for our vote to be counted. We all died there. Nobody had monopoly of violence. They bring violence.
Okay, let's not answer with violence if they bring violence. Again, the question is, are we able to do it peacefully? Is there a way for voters to stand up for their rights in a peaceful but firm way? 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, my name is Benga, calling from Ikoroti.
Benga, do you think voter intimidation will work?
It will work.
Okay.
Let me ask me why.
Why?
The country is not secure, and if I want to go there to go work, if somebody hits something on my head, who is going to cater for that?
Mm.
Even if I'm still living under my parents, and I want to go vote, and I could see people, okay, if I come around, I see people fighting. My parents will even tell me to go back home, because if anything happens to me, nobody will be brought to justice. Okay, look at the people that are going for Obi rally. Things happen to them. Where are they now? Some of them might be there struggling, police, security. They won't do anything. Voters, if this intimidation will discourage people from voting. Everybody tells you it's not going to work. The person is lying.
All right. Thank you for calling, Benga. 99.3. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name? Hello.
My name is Kainde. My name is Kainde.
Kainde, welcome. Kainde, are you a woman?
I didn't
tell you. Are you a woman, Kainde?
No, no, I'm a man. I'm a guy.
You should not be calling this line. This line is for women. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello, good afternoon.
How are you doing? What's your name,
ma'am? I'm calling back.
All right, Sandra, welcome back.
Sandra,
nobody
has monopoly of violence. So, I don't know what you're expecting us to answer.
Sandra, I'll end
some
the call.
No.
I will end the call.
Some people will call in and say it will work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So does it mean that same people will not come and vote? So it's either we will leave the topic or we don't tell them that peacefully we will hold somebody down without beating the person.
Okay. Ahead. All right, Sandra, I'm ending the call. Thank you very much for calling. We've come to say hello. Okay.
So once people are determined and the government can enforce, for example, if I were Buhari, nothing stops me from putting some people under house arrest that day and ensuring that, yes, and saying that
that would be an infringement on their rights now.
I know, I'm just saying. Like, if there is any violence in Lagos State, I'm going to hold some certain people responsible, or in Edo State, or in this field, because they know these people that caused the violence. They know them. So it's just like making them responsible for it. So if Buhari indeed really wants to curb this thing, he can do it. So I think the government has to show some political will, and because people are determined, and if they try to stop people from voting, they can really turn back against them. So they need to be very careful, and the government needs to act proactively.
Okay. Thank you, Santa. All right. Thank you very much for calling, Kainde. We've got a message here on WhatsApp from Andrew. Andrew says, Sandra was right. peacefully holding the person down is fine. That's self-defense. Self-defense is always allowed as long as it doesn't escalate. All right, Andrew, thank you very much for your message. Let's wrap up by telling you a bit about fake news. On the Big Three, we talked about Fanny Kayode's fake news about a coup. Peter Obi says that he will withdraw from the election if anyone can bring any evidence that he gave 2 billion naira to the Christian Association of Nigeria. This weekend, some online handles were carrying a story where they posted a letter they claimed was from a pastor complaining to CAN about how the money that P2B gave them was being handled. But now it's been debunked. Like I said, P2B has come out to call it a lie. But of course, he's a politician. As a politician, he's going to come out and deny it. He'll come out and say it's a lie. But CAN has also come out to say it's a lie. But maybe you don't believe CAN because, you know, who knows? But the pastor whose name is on the letter has also come out to say it's a lie. He says the letter did not come from him.
I want to really debunk the nonsense they are saying about Obiden family today. I don't know anything about this particular publication. I have personally moved from one church to another in Imo State today to go and find that church who can put this such publication out. I want to inform you, I don't know anything about it. That signature there was not my signature. I don't have anything to do with that signature. I have gone to the whole state to find out whether I can see that church. That church is not existing. Please, obedient. I want you to don't be distracted from this particular vision. Don't be distracted from this great vision. The enemy of tomorrow, the enemies of better tomorrow are the ones doing all this nonsense. They know that I'm popular in Imo State. I am the immediate past executive chairman of Okigwe local government. I have nothing, my wife, my children, all of them are pure obedient. So I don't know how anybody can come and put my name there and put my number. The picture you saw there is a picture when I was in APC 2010 in Abuja. So the person maybe want to spoil my name, or he want to, I don't know what he's looking for. But the truth of the matter is that P2B, I have never met P2B before in my life. I only watch him in television, in Arise, Challenge, and other popular television. I have never met him with my eyes. I don't even know him. I've never seen 2 billion or 2 million in my, 2 billion in my eyes. I've never seen it. If 2 billion is like money, I don't know it. So how would somebody say that P2B gave me? You are liars. If you are afraid of Peter, be telling him that you are afraid of him than to start spoiling his name. True people like us, you think that they are popular in Imo State. So please, my brothers and sisters, never you. I bring my face, I took my time to bring this face for you people to see that man everybody is talking about. It is not true. They are liars. The church is not existing. I don't even know the CAN president or CAN chairman in Imo State. I don't own a church. So I don't.
We're showing you that video on our live stream, Facebook Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube Nigeria Info FM. So one major fake news story from the last few days debunked. Earlier on the Big Three, like I said, I told you about the fake news against Atiku. This one was from Femi Fani Kayode, a spokesman for the Tinubu campaign, claiming that Atiku was meeting with generals to plan a coup. But now SSS questioned Fani Kayode and he retracted the statement. He's now saying that he was misled by a faceless online handle. Now here's my question, Lagos, and I wish we had more time to stay on this question, but here's my question. Is fake news being weaponized in this election cycle? And like I asked at 3 p.m., I'm asking again, how do you fact check the news you hear? Are there people who rely on you to explain these things to them? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. Women, call us on 01465-7190. We've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Hello. Sorry about that. Okay, if you can. Hello. Good evening.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good evening, Ikechukwu.
Ikechukwu, welcome.
Can I talk about personal life?
About what?
That constant issue.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Okay, sister. If some of our leader or a family leader has come online and talk, they will tell us what we already know. This long personal life is long overdue. I support it from Lagos to Port Harcourt, Port Harcourt to Calabar. Then, on it and Aba will benefit. Small, small, it will not go around. It's long overdue. And Apapa is like Lagos now. So that it will help Lagos to be contented. But unfortunately, second Niger Bridge is for us. Bridge cannot pass under. Thank you very much. It's political second Niger Bridge.
All right. Thank you for calling 99.3. Hello. Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
This is your senior special advisor.
Oh, welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. Mungunu, the chief security advisor, said something about cars and the person.
Take a break. When we come back from this break, if there's some time, I'll take a look at messages on WhatsApp. If there isn't any time, we'll bring you the news at 6. After the news at 6, let's talk about curses on the step down. Do you believe that curses work? Last week, throughout the step down, we talked about a mother who was cursing her daughter. Do you believe curses work?